This episode of An Abundance of Not is brought to you by Amazon.com. Amazon affiliated with us. We're very happy about it. Please go to anabundanceofnot.com. Click on the Amazon banner and do all your shopping as normal. Bookmark for ease of use. We appreciate it.
And TLDRGamer.com. When you don't have a whole lot of time to read the gaming news and just want the brief excerpts, visit TLDRGamer.com. for the core info. Thank you to them for the hosting and bandwidth for our podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to An Abundance of Not. It is Wednesday the 11th of the month of June.
It's Wednesday again.
Wednesday. Yep. Hump day.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Time to do this again.
Well, you know, if you're preoccupied, feel free to depart.
No, not at all. We're good.
Okay. Making sure I wasn't keeping you from anything you would rather be doing.
No. If you were, I wouldn't be here.
I figured as much. I know where your priorities lie. I'm just making sure that you schedule them accordingly.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
So how's your week off there, Mr. Brad?
Well, I'm not sure I would call it a week off, but it's certainly a week off of traveling, and that has been a wonderful thing.
Sleeping in,
home-cooked meals. A little bit of sleeping in. Caught a little bit of a sinus infection, so a little bit more rest was in order. But no, it's actually been a productive week at home. Keeping up with phone calls and whatnot, still for work, but we've been able to get some of the things checked off the honey-do list, so.
Well, that's good.
How long is that list?
What's that?
How long is that list?
The list is not actually that long. It's just kind of one of those constantly rotating things. You know, you get stuff checked off, and, you know, the house never sits still, so there's always stuff to do.
It's an odd house.
What's that?
Never sits still. That is it's a little strange.
Yes, no. We have a constantly moving house.
It's very hard to find when you get back from travel.
Right. It's cloaked. It's alive!
So we have anything noteworthy we need to share with the masses?
Anything I wish to share with the masses? Hello, audience. I started off... planning for a fairly ordinary weekend. We had soccer with the boys.
This is outside now?
What's that?
Is this the outside or still inside?
Outside of what?
The soccer. Is it still soccer.
Indoors? Jeez.
Come on. We didn't deviate that far from topic, man.
Yeah. No, this is outdoor soccer now.
Okay.
Yeah, so we moved out of doors. The weather's finally nice, and they're out kicking each other in the shins.
Boys are wondering why the ball doesn't bounce back at them and it goes out of bounds. Yep.
What do you mean it's out of bounds?
The friend of my son's, it's both of their friends, had a birthday party Saturday, at a place here called Sky Zone. I don't know if you guys have anything like it out there, but it's essentially an indoor trampoline park.
Yep, we have very similar, not too far up the road.
Okay, so the four of us attended the party and made sure that we all had tickets to get into the main activity area. Spent an hour. The party was an hour worth of time on the actual playground, bouncing around, and they had ultimate dodgeball, where you're playing dodgeball on trampoline pads. And
hey, you're recording this on your end, right?
Yes.
Okay, good, because you got kind of spotty there for a minute.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, as long as you can keep up, that's the main thing.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What? Yeah. Only an hour party? That seems short. I mean, at least the ones that I've been forced to attend have been a good 2-3, sometimes longer.
Oh, no, this was a pretty reasonable length, actually. The actual time on the park was an hour, and then they had I don't know, maybe, what, 20 minutes, half an hour afterwards for pizza and drinks and presents, and then everybody left. It was the right length.
Nice.
Yeah, it was perfect. We all had a blast.
Cool, very cool. I'm having to look something up here real quick, so I realize I'm lacking more information than previously talked about. Wade, anything you've got to share with the world?
Other than E3 was kind of awesome this week. You know, we were still in the throes of it.
Yeah, we're, what, halfway through?
Yeah, it's technically day 3 right now, Wednesday. People are calling it day 2 because they call the first day, which is where most of the press conferences happen, as day 0, which kind of doesn't make sense to me, but I'll roll with it. So, you know, a lot of game release or announcements. But, you know, in my book, when I see a trailer, I don't really call, you know, don't really put much weight into it, because I've seen trailers come out and then game never
comes
out. The game
is substantially different.
Well, or the game never comes out anyway.
Right.
You know, or we see these trade shows and we see the same game for 3 years.
So has that occupied most of your time this week then?
Pretty much. I'm just like, I'm going to watch this. All right.
Awesome.
Indeed.
I haven't caught any of it, so.
All the VODs for the press conferences are available on Twitch homepage. So while you're
awesome.
Back to flying, you can catch that.
Very and nice. Our sister network over at TLDR Gamer is covering it. So,
yep.
Information there as well as here.
Yeah, he's keeping that stuff up pretty up to date. So pretty cool.
There. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. I was thinking about getting out to see the Tom Cruise Edge of Tomorrow movie. Didn't end up doing that. And the rest of the weekend was pretty mild. Trying to even think what I did. And it's coming up with a blank.
Welcome to my world.
Pool started back up. Was it this week?
You went.
Last week. This past... So not this past Monday, but the week Monday prior was the first week. And I still am holding on to the not talking about it standpoint.
Yeah, you didn't want to say anything about it last week either.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything about it this week either. yeah, sorry
that
about
good.
That. However, this weekend should be a good one. Father's Day coming up for all you dads out there, with Brad and myself included.
Yep.
And How to Train Your Dragon is definitely on the agenda, which we will get to here in movies shortly.
Oh, it is for us too.
You guys planning to get out also?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
We're animaniacs.
25 years old, and I still want to see How to Train Your Dragon too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna go without my kid. I mean, it's like my favorite kid movie there is. Yes, more than Lion King. I said it, Disney fanatics.
Yeah, you know, I'll agree with you.
Fantastic. Well, if we got nothing else, let's just jump right into movies, shall we?
Let's do it.
I like that sound effect.
That is cool.
So, coming out this week, obviously, How to Train Your Dragon 2... Rated at
really?
90...
That's this week?
Shh. Stop it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Rated at 92%. DreamWorks. It is DreamWorks, right? I should know that.
Yes, it is DreamWorks.
DreamWorks is reluctant to publish the budget for the movie at this time. Also coming out, the highly anticipated sequel, 22 Jump Street, rated at 93%.
Really? Anticipated? I mean, that didn't look too entertaining to me, the first one.
The second one looks hilarious. Now, I didn't see the first one, but the second one from the trailers looks hilarious.
Not to me.
And at 93%, the critics felt the same way. That's got a budget of $70 million. So, hopefully those two, I mean, I'm going to bet anyone can take me up on this, open table, that How to Train Your Dragon breaks $100 million.
Most likely.
We haven't seen a movie do it yet. In the first week, Captain America was 90-ish, X-Men 90-ish, Godzilla 90-ish, Maleficent was 70, Lego was 69. So we've had some flirts, but nothing's past it, so...
There's definitely a lot of anticipation for this one, though.
I agree.
And no? You know, it's an almost guaranteed Family Dollar one.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
most of everything else that's come out has been either iffy or definitely not for family, and this is a big, you know, a big family film.
Well, we're going with, like, as a group of, like, 10.
Yeah,
like
we've got people, 10 so. People from work that are all going to meet us up at the theater and go see it between, you know, co-workers themselves or extended family. You know, sure. We ourselves, we're four right there, so we've got another 6 joining the pack, and it'll be good and fun. What I found surprising, though, is our local theater, big theater, the movie times that are offered suck. I mean, we're going to have to bolt out of the office to get over to the theater just to get parking and get in, because the show time is at 5:15, and the next one is until 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Which
I've noticed a few around here that are trying harder to push the 3D screen.
Well, the same amount of showtimes are available in 3D also, but they're an hour earlier, so 4:15 or 7. I didn't see if there was anything in like the big IMAX type stuff. We don't really subscribe to that. The 3D viewing experience.
No, neither do we.
Some people get headaches. I think, didn't you say Kirby, your wife, has doesn't she get like headaches or motion sickness or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not for everybody for sure, and we just don't necessarily feel that it adds that much more to the movie to pay the extra money.
Well, and it's one of those things that it's a balance between both of us. She gets headaches from it, and I don't see any benefit. I mean, I can kind of force the 3D, but it's not over. It's not what's the word I'm after? I mean, I'm not wowed by it at all.
Sure,
it's like, why pay the extra money for something that's mediocre and gives her headaches?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I've seen a real 3D movie. Okay, I went and saw an IMAX. Documentary, you know, IMAX, an actual IMAX film that was shot with an IMAX 3D camera. And those are beautiful.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of those way back when IMAX
first started doing 3D.
Yeah. And it was, there were almost no movies out. It was all these kind of half hour, 45 minute documentary.
Exactly.
3D experiences. And so
the one that I saw was Space Station 3D.
Oh, that would be cool.
And It was awesome, and they sat at an actual IMAX 3D camera at the base of the rocket when they launched it, and you know when the ice debris broke loose from the external fuel tank, and some of it got caught in the jet blast and come flying at the camera, the 3D from a IMAX shot 3D was so realistic that the entire theater ducked.
Nice.
Yeah, as the screen splinters.
Yeah, legitimate IMAX is pretty amazing.
The problem with what they're doing now is it's most of it is shot in 2D, and then they retouch it in post to create a 3D-like experience, and it's just crap.
Well, it goes both ways, though. I've seen live-action movies, as in non-animated, in 3D, and I hated it. To me, some of the 3D looked like people standing closer to you as the viewer with a cardboard cutout of a plant or a coffee, whatever the object is that's supposed to give you that depth perspective. Animated movies I enjoy because they can do so much more. Because it's all computer-generated, they can really fine-tune that stuff and give you a better feeling. Now, when something is shot in 2D and then modified for 3D, I agree that the 3D quality isn't quite there. But when they render it to 2D format for DVD, it looks fine because that's how it was shot.
Yep.
But when they shoot something like Avatar in 3D with 3D cameras for the 3D viewing experience in theaters and then compress that down to 2D, with the newer TVs that we have, with the resolution factors and the the refresh rates and all that, color contrast and everything, it hinders the DVD experience. You now have aspects in the viewing in the screen that are of different resolutions that don't quite fit. I mean, it looks like someone went into a computer and pasted something in. So you've got, we haven't found that balance yet, I think, in the industry.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I wonder, especially with the home 3D market, I wonder if this is going to be a brief, almost like a gimmick period. You know, the home 3D market, from what I've observed, has all but collapsed. Some people got 3D TVs, and you don't really hear much about it being used, and you have to wear those stupid glasses, and, you know, it's just more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah, now I wonder if, I mean, if Samsung is releasing the new Curve TV, and I wonder if that will do anything, because with a lot of 3D TVs, you have to be directly off the screen to get the 3D perspective.
Right.
But with this Curve TV, where it's now angling the screen itself and maybe giving you a more of a broader seating option for viewing, maybe that might have some factor. Who knows? But maybe. Now that we've totally spent 15 minutes off topic on 3D shenanigans.
It was on topic. Yeah, we were talking about movies.
It was still movies. It was on topic.
So let's hit up the box office real quick, see what happened last weekend. The Fault in Our Stars, which was kind of a low-budget love story, was budgeted at only $12 million, pulled in $48. So, huge success opening weekend from profitability standpoint. Again, that took first in the box office. Maleficent pulls in $34.3 million against its $180 million budget. Edge of Tomorrow at third at $28.8 against its $178 million budget. And X-Men at fourth at $15.2 against its $200 million budget. There are no honorable mentions, as last week we had The Edge of Tomorrow came out and The Fault with Our Stars. Now, last week I briefly mentioned Marvel talking about doing a Doctor Strange movie. Well, there's been a lot more buzz about that. We mentioned about them looking for a director. They've got their eyes set on Scott Derrickson. I'd have to really dig and see what he's known for, so my apologies there. But some rumors regarding who may be in or who may be playing Doctor Strange, from Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Johnny Depp was rumored to be in talks with Marvel, but they think there might be a scheduling conflict because he is already inked for another instance of Pirates of the Caribbean, as well as in Alice in Wonderland 2. There were rumors that he met for lunch with them, but one side of the two, whether it's Johnny Depp's campus or Marvel Studios, is kind of denying that it happened. And then, in addition to those two, we also have Benedict Cumberbatch, most of us known from Star Trek, and also the voice of Smaug, as well as Tom Hardy, who was Bane. So, nothing confirmed, but all speculation and kind of in the works. Now, we talked last week, and none of us were really all that educated with the character of Doctor Strange.
Who is Doctor Strange?
Who is Doctor Strange indeed? Well, in doing some little bit of research, because, you know, I wanted to give these answers. We had to give the answers.
It's about time.
So Doctor Strange is, his character originally is a neurosurgeon, one of the best in the world. However, with that success has caused a great deal of an ego to build up. Now, along his storyline, he gets into an accident. I believe it's a car accident. And I'm trying to find the exact details here of my notes, but from what I can recall, he ends up, his hands get damaged in the accident, and he no longer can perform his surgeries. So with his wealth from his long career, he seeks out across the world trying to find any potential remedy he can from just about any source to heal his hands and get him back into doing what he's doing. Now, everything essentially fails until he meets a kind of a wizard character in the Himalayas. Again, I had the notes here somewhere. I'm actually on Wikipedia, so, you know, sue me. And
take it with a grain of salt.
Is it right? Oh, it's extensive, though. I can't even find where the hell it was at. at first, this teacher was reluctant to teach our doctor. Our doctor's name is Stephen Strange, by the way. I finally found it. But after an attack on the teacher is called the Ancient One. So after an attack on the Ancient One by his former student and disciple, Strange saves the Ancient One and shows the Ancient One that there is still good within him. He's agreed to teach him, and then he goes out and he fights notable mystical foes, such as Baron Mordo, which was the other apprentice, and an entity called Nightmare. So I think if this is done in the likes of Iron Man, this could be really, really cool. But so far, Marvel hasn't done anything that's really magic-inspired and mystical. I mean, the closest thing is maybe the Hulk, but we explain that with a little bit of science mumbo-jumbo. So it'll be kind of interesting to see the variation between the plausibility of the Avengers series and the fantastical element of something like this, where it's based on kind of wizardy and witchcraft and whatnot. If it ever does come to fruition. I mean, they're in talks about it. It's not like they're in production, so take that as it is as well.
Should be interesting.
And to our audience, if I got any of that wrong with Doctor Strange, feel free to let us know in the comments.
Yes.
Because I am not a comic book aficionado.
He got it from Wikipedia. If you don't like what we said, change Wikipedia.
Yeah. And let us know we're wrong. I mean, I'm not above it. But with that being said, I think let's jump over to news after our extensive movie rant.
Let's do it. Our wonderful, beloved car company Tesla is back in the news. Well, its CEO is anyway. Elon Musk is talking about how he wants to share the technology behind the rapid charging stations that he's developed for the Teslas. He wants to try and make it an open standard, hopefully encouraging the other car manufacturers to adopt it and make it, you know, an industry-wide standard. There are some catches, you know, if they want to use the network that Tesla has already built out, there will be, you know, a small cost to help maintain the network. And whichever manufacturer wants to use it has to agree to embrace Tesla's philosophy that there are no charges for using these charging stations.
That's, his terms and condition of sharing the technology is you kind of got to do it his way.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, all things considered, it's not a bad deal.
It kind of sounds like he's got the copyright on the technology, and he's saying that, look, you can take the technology and use it, and I won't charge you, provided you do it this way.
Right.
Now, I wonder if he will allow people to still do it if they pay, you know, royalties or whatever for using the technology, if they want to operate under their own business model or not.
Probably not. It sounds like, you know, he's fairly stubborn on if you're going to use our network, you do it our way.
Well, that's his network, but if he shares the technology of the charging station, they could essentially manufacture their own and do and operate the business practice any way they see fit.
Their own separate network.
But if it's a Tesla network, then it's got to be free.
Yeah, it sounds like they could, but it also sounds like he's not going to let them. If you want the technology, you do it our way.
Okay.
Which is actually good for consumers, the fact that you never have to pay to use one of these charging stations.
Well, considering from an electric car standpoint, Tesla is pretty much the most expensive within reason. From a mass production-esque standpoint. Can you consider them mass produced? I mean, they're not one-offs, so...
You know, I'm not sure that they could be considered mass produced yet. They're still fairly...
And they're pretty much made to order, though, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, I'm not sure if that considers mass produced or not.
I think if he's maybe just be laying the groundwork, if we stop with the... Was it combustion exhaust engines, and we go to more electric, know, what's that doing for the environment? I'd say pretty darn good.
Sure.
Well, that kind of depends on where the electricity comes from, what's being used to generate it. I mean, at the worst end, you're shifting the pollution from the car to the power station. But as power station technology evolves and becomes cleaner, then yeah, you do start to reduce, emissions.
It's a lot harder to change, you know, the millions and millions and millions of cars on the road worldwide than it is to change the, couple hundred power plants.
Well, I'm sure there's thousands of power plants, but like Brad says, the technology for more efficient, cleaner, and potentially less expensive means of producing electricity will always be that progressive line. They're not going to just stay in their ways. There's going to be progress in that field. And as that improves, again, cleaner, probably less expensive, and more efficient power, if you can change the minds or you can change the habits of the drivers, where you're saying you're changing the millions, and then all you have to do is change the power plants as they update, you're accomplishing that goal. So, yeah, no, that definitely sounds like, I wonder from that aspect, the only problem is I like driving, and I haven't driven a Tesla. Sad to say, I would like to. Anybody have a Tesla?
Yeah, me too.
Me drive? Anybody? Bueller?
Anybody?
No?
Okay. Hit us up on the Facebook page. Let us know. We'll test drive your Tesla for you.
That's right. And we'll have you on the podcast, too. I mean, hey, this is a,
that's right.
It's a win-win.
We'll strap with a GoPro. Yeah.
Yes! GoPro this bad boy. So, I mean, maybe the driving experience with the Tesla is still something that can give you those little goosebumps of joy. I know when some popular TV shows compared the Tesla, the original coupe, to the Lotus Elise, which the body was based on, it definitely did not hold its own from power or handling because it was so much heavier. So, but that's technology that can evolve too. I mean, it's not like we're at the end game for electric cars either.
What he's saying is he wants cleaner cars, but he doesn't want to sacrifice the Zoom Zoom.
That's from what exactly I've heard with the latest one, the Model S, it's very comparable.
Is the S the sedan or is S the just an
S is the sedan.
Okay.
And it's supposedly got awesome handling, awesome pickup. The battery, you do pick up a little bit of weight with the battery, but the battery is very low, so it keeps your center of mass very low, which keeps the handling good.
Gotcha. No, it's cool. It's on a bucket list for me is to drive a Tesla. I definitely am very curious about that experience.
Absolutely.
And as long as the power grid for charging, where you don't have to run home after a couple hundred, 100 miles or so that you can recharge, if you've got those abilities to charge on the go, for the most part, then more power to you.
Too bad you can't invent, some turbines in, the axles.
Well, you can, but see, the issue that you run into that, because you could essentially run an alternator off the axle that gives some degree of charging. I'm sure they've got something like that, some type of charging system. However, any resistance you put on the movement of the axle by the electric engine, you're using more power than the car is able to move, because some of that alternator is adding additional resistance that shouldn't need to be there. So yeah, you may be getting a trickle charge, but for what you may be losing, it may not be worth it.
Well, and there's no such thing as free power. Okay. You know, whatever you're expending to make the wheels turn, you're not going to make that back through any kind of charging system.
Yeah.
A lesson in electrical engineering, people.
There you go.
Although,
here we go.
Here's the amendment.
Well, I mean, obviously with gearing and whatnot, you can change the rotational speed of anything. You know, if the electric engine is spinning at one rotation a minute, let's just say from a mathematical deal, you can easily gear it to where it's now the final endpoint is spinning at 10 times that.
Correct, but every time you change a gearing ratio, you introduce more friction.
Yep, and with friction
lost power.
And every time you change directions, so like the gearing system in a differential of a car, because you're changing the rotational direction 90 degrees from the drive shaft spinning to, you know, laterally from east to west on the car to the axle spinning north and south, essentially, that has a lot of loss as well. So,
absolutely. It's
physics and science and engineering and stuff.
And stuff.
And stuff. Let's just call it
stuff. It's all that science-y stuff.
Here's one that's now near and dear to Brad's heart. Silicon Valley.
Here we go. But,
well, sort of, maybe. Silicon Valley, finally, is speaking out against the Comcast merger. I say this is near and dear to Brad's heart because he is now a Comcast customer. How's it feel? Asper.
Very, very ashamedly a Comcast customer.
How long did you spend in the shower after making that purchase?
Since we switched over to Comcast, I've spent the last 3 days in the shower trying to clean the dirty off.
Nice. How many bars of soap have you gone through?
16 bars of soap and counting.
Is there any other personal questions you want to ask?
How much
I think anything more, you're kind of getting into a realm we don't need to be in.
Hey,
Roll with it.
Seeing how far this rabbit hole goes.
That's right. So, regarding the Comcast merger, members of some associated companies that we may know, small little guys, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, eBay, Sprint, T-Mobile, and other streaming, and our other very good friend, well, not really friend, but fans of us, that we are of them, is the potential TV streaming Aereo. They've all spoken
out. Any big name companies?
What?
I said, were there any big name companies?
No, just these little guys. They're all starting to maybe speak out against this. A big one, though, is Netflix. They've openly expressed opposition to the deal with the tech giant who stayed fair. Most and a lot of the tech giants have stayed fairly quiet, mainly because a lot of them are kind of in bed with Comcast and who's it with? Time Warner?
Yes.
Time Warner? Yeah.
Time Warner.
So a lot of people, you know, when you've got a deal with somebody, you don't want to speak out against them because you don't want to lose your deal. So that seems to be kind of the situation that Comcast and Time Warner has put themselves in, that they've kind of blackmailed people into supporting them. But Netflix is speaking out because both Time Warner and Comcast, as we've talked before, have video streaming services. And with the whole net neutrality deal that we've been talking about recently, that could put Netflix in a bit of a situation. So not everybody is stepping up against this. It's kind of sad that more aren't. But at least a few are. And just to refresh here, it looks like it's a $45 billion purchase.
Pocket change.
Yeah, well, you know. Just playing with that B word again. It's a big number.
You don't buy anything for millions anymore, apparently.
No. Millions is for those cheap, those guys in the street.
That's right. Millions are for poor people.
Oh, man.
Excuse me while I get in my Tesla.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. It's not saying it's not going to go through, but we got some people who are trying to make it that way, which, like we've talked about before, with our situation in the U.S. and the lack of competition with these media giants, we need this to not happen. That's all I got to say.
Well, we need it to not happen, and we need our government to get its head out of the dark and allow competition in the media industry.
Makes you wonder how we could go about doing that without the government actually physically setting up more companies. I mean, how would you, hypothetically speaking, create a media company to compete with these people from a technology standpoint?
Well, the government doesn't need to be the one to set it up. In fact, I'm much more in favor of the government not being the one to set it up. The problem is, in a lot of places, it's the local and municipal governments and state governments that have the legislation tied up that essentially locks it to this one media company. You know, they've gone through and they're now the incumbent, and now the permit process to lay new cable is so encumbering that any new company that comes along to try and do it doesn't have the money to fight the red tape just to get permits to lay cable. It's not that you can't start your own media company. You want to do it? I mean, we're doing it right now with our podcasts.
No, I agree.
But it's we're not level. Trying to lay, you know, tens of thousands of miles of coax or fiber optic cable. That's where the problem comes in.
Okay.
And
it's the network. It's not the... The service is a result of the network that's been put in place, not so much the lack of, I guess.
Correct. You know, and the another part of the problem is Comcast or whatever the local media company is, Time Warner, Comcast, Cox, has paid to lay the cable, and they own the cable. It's not a utility cable. It belongs to these media companies. You know, as opposed to some areas where the power lines are a utility commodity and you can select who you want to buy your power from. There's a couple different, you know, power companies in the area and they all share the lines and you just pay whoever you want to supply you the power over the grid.
So essentially, someone like us or anybody really could go out and rent a T1 line from somebody. I'm guessing it would be through someone like AT&T or someone like Cox or someone who already owns the cable that's in place. But running the own cable, having your own more or less private infrastructure to do with as you will, that's the limitation right now.
Right. I mean, even if you were able to get a backbone connection to the internet through AT&T or through Level 3 or, you know, one of these major backbone ISPs, you have no way of getting it to your subscribers then, because Cox in your area or Comcast in mine owns the cable to the house. We have no way of getting it to the house.
Yeah.
Without laying our own cable, which is prohibitively expensive. That's why it's taking people like with really, really deep pockets like Google to come in and say, yeah, we'll throw a couple $100 million at this and lay fiber throughout Austin. And now all of a sudden the incumbent is, you know, oh, well, now we can, you know, we can add some more speed here. We've got the capacity that all of a sudden we have and we didn't have yesterday until Google announced it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing when the true story comes out once a little competition's put into play.
Yeah. But it just goes to show how much this is contrived. You know, they've been very happy at the speed that they've been providing until Google announces they're coming into the market, in which case, magically, they found, oh, there was this switch at the back of the, you know, the back of the rack that we didn't see before that we just flipped, and all of a sudden you have more speed.
Yeah.
Well, we noticed...
No, it's lack of competition.
Oh, and we'll give you $10 less on your monthly bill.
We noticed this plug was a bit loose. Let's just push that back in.
Yeah, oh, look, we pushed that back in, and now it works so much better. Sorry about that, guys.
Like, sorry for the past 10 years.
It's like Microsoft, like, hey, we're getting ready to connect, and hey, we've got like 10% upgrade in CPU power.
Yeah.
They'd say it's not from the Kinect, but it's like, really?
Yeah.
So the problem, it's not that you're not allowed to start a competing cable company. It's just that it costs so much, and that's assuming you can even get permits. Like I said at the beginning of this, you know, in a lot of places, municipal and local city governments have it tied up that you can't even get permits to lay new cable anymore. Unless you're, you know, replacing existing, which, you know, any of these new companies wouldn't be.
Yeah.
So that's where it really needs to change. And if the government were to enable true competition, I'd even be okay with lack of net neutrality. You know, we don't need rules to keep things neutral when you have true competition, because if you're not serving me the way I want to be served, I will find another company that will.
Of course.
So.
I'm on board.
It's a sticky issue.
Yep, indeed. We can go on and on, but before we do, let's shift gears. See, that would have been a good segue to Tesla. Damn it.
That would have been. Yeah, oh, well. You messed that up.
Whatever.
Well, in case... Well, if you do like driving and don't have the money to buy a Tesla, you could do so by playing one of the many games that had been released or announced, such as D3, such as Forza 5. So,
good recovery.
Yeah, there's a segue.
There you go. We'll take it.
Yeah. So, yep, like we were said earlier, E3 is going on this week. We are just getting away tonight from the tail end of it. All the major people have had their conferences, and our news teams are going through the show floor, finding the little ones that didn't get to have their time in the spotlight.
Like Nintendo?
Well, Nintendo still had their press conference. It was digital, but they still had their conference.
Okay.
Which is strange to me.
I was figuring that was the one nobody turned up for.
I didn't.
It still happened, just no one cared.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's the little guys who didn't, you know, weren't an exclusive to something or weren't underneath a... what's it called? Underneath EA or Ubisoft. Which, speaking of which, I mean, we have a lot of games coming out. The Division. Assassin's Creed Unity, thank you.
Rainbow Six Siege.
Rainbow Six Siege and Far Cry 4. Just to name a few that are going multiple characters. Assassin's Creed Unity will be allowing 4-player co-op, most likely online. There's be a second player allowed for Far Cry 4. I think there was a 16-on-16 kind of siege match, what they showed for Rainbow Six Siege. This is definitely becoming the year of the co-op gameplay, which I'm not... You know, I'm happy with. I was kind of getting annoyed that, hey, all you can do is team deathmatch and capture the flag and stuff like that.
Get this, too, from what I saw, I believe, if memory serves, Sony themselves came out and said, with some of these co-op games, correct me if I'm wrong, you can invite your friend to come play the game with you. They don't have to own the game. They get to play off your license online, co-op form. So I was blown away.
I hadn't heard that news, but that's huge.
Somebody said it yesterday as part of Sony. I don't know if it was Ubisoft or if it was Sony Direct.
I believe it was probably most likely the Sony's press conference.
Yeah, it was Sony's deal.
The only thing you saw.
Yeah, I mean, I saw announcements of Little Big Planet 7 or whatever the hell it is.
3, but yeah.
Yeah, 3. But I'm pretty sure it was a Sony VP said that if you own the game and you want your buddy to play with you, all you got to do is invite them and they play off your license. They don't need to own it, which I was shocked by. Very different move than Xbox.
If that is true, then that is a huge pro in Sony's column.
Yeah, especially since Microsoft was talking, obviously, early on about, you know, once you own it, it's yours forever, essentially.
Right.
Sony's saying, you can buy it, that guy can play it, that person can play it, anyone can play it. So, pretty cool.
It'd be really fun to have all three of us do a Assassin's Creed Unity playthrough. Just all of us there.
It would be cool. We'd have to have Bradley sick for half a month. But, it's a little out there, but
or just you and me, whatever.
That's right. Well, maybe in the works when we are reestablished. Anywho,
that's cool.
What else with anything Xbox noteworthy?
Let's see.
We've gotten official trailers for Destiny, which those have been out for a little while, I think.
That was released last That was since released last E3. They actually did have... they had a little bit of gameplay, but, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in trailers, as I said.
Yeah, you said that. But what did we get to see with... What were some of the announcements?
We got to see some gameplay for The Order 1866. That looked weird to me, though. I mean, it was like 30 seconds gameplay, cutscene, 30 second trailer, or gameplay, cutscene, 30 second gameplay, cutscene. I was like...
But the cinematic cutscenes were pretty seamless into, from what they showed, cinematic and then into gameplay. I mean, the cinematic led into the gameplay. You went through a series of actions. It cut to a cinematic rather instantaneously and kind of went back and forth, not ruining the immersion factor, which I thought was pretty cool. But again, like you said, it's a trailer. They're going to hype it up, so we'll see what happens.
I did like their era of guns in that. There was like, speaking of electricity, but the like an arc gun, like a Tesla arc gun was kind of cool.
Okay.
Like a thermite sprayer, then like ignites it. Then kind of a, like, I don't know what you call it, be like a disc of thermite that you shot and just melted a barrier.
Interesting. And this is what game?
The Order 1866.
Yes. Kind of from what the trailer, the general premise of this looks to be like a time period of 1866 zombie type situation.
That's so kind of weird. The gameplay we saw was like a zombie eating a corpse then transformed to like a werewolf kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's interesting, different little concept and different era, which is kind of cool, as opposed to, you know, all the modern day stuff. So it could be interesting, could be fun. Moving on, next. Nothing? Is that all you got?
Everything else is that we know. Let's see, Assassin's Creed will be held in the era of the French Revolution.
Okay.
Particularly bloody.
It's kind of got a Three Musketeers-ish vibe to it, especially when you factor in the co-op situation. So that could be a lot of fun there. I mean, you guys know me. It's Assassin's Creed. I'll be playing it one way or the other. So
absolutely.
We did see gameplay of that, and I saw a lot of... I mean, it was really cool. I saw a lot of things that we could do at any given time. You know, there was an execution on the street. It was like, save the citizens. Or, you know, as he was walking down the street, is catch the thief. And you turn into a building and there's a mission there that's, you know, get revenge for a guy who was killed that this woman is crying over. I mean, there looked like at any given time there was something to do, which...
A little more sandbox-ish.
Which I kind of liked. Well, it wasn't just like, go to here and do you want to do this mission? Okay, yeah, sure. Sure, the building, when you enter the building, you could do it. But when it's like, okay, there's actually something here. I can do it. I don't have to do it. There's no penalty.
Gotcha.
It's from what I saw.
Just a ton of optional side quests, essentially.
Pretty much.
Now, you and I were looking at a game a week ago that was the Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, yeah. There was actually no mention of it. I mean, it could be within the show floor where it didn't have its own thing, as we're waiting for our news media coveragers to sift through all the show floor things.
Pretty cool concept, though, because with this game, it seems like there's no way to fail a mission, more or less. But depending on your performance will dictate the actions later on. How you play it, whether you're stealth or... cause fear. You can either be stealthy, you can cause fear, you can have enemies go back and report to their higher-ups, they can and totally change the dynamic of the game, essentially making the same story a totally different experience from one playthrough to another. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty much, let's see if I can get you down to it. You're a ranger in The Lord of the Rings. If you need some... more reference, think Aragorn was a ranger.
Correct.
Your family's been wiped out. Everyone you know has been wiped out by orcs. You were killed, but apparently was not your time. and you are sent back, and you are connected with basically a ghost wraith, where you're then allowed to both use the ranger's physical abilities, running, jumping, climbing, and the fear abilities of the ghost wraith.
And you can kind of transition between both realms, which kind of gives you a very Assassin's Creed Eagle Vision vibe to it. Anyway, there's before we get too wordy in that, there are some really good trailers online on YouTube that we can try to link to in the show notes. If you're interested, check it out. It looks pretty awesome. So, but with that, I think let's jump over to something a little different.
Something a little different. We can do different.
Fantastic. If you can't, I can.
I can. Okay. So we're going to reach back into the archives here about a year, maybe a little over a year, when the whole NSA story first broke. This is the abundance of NSA. Actually, we're going to put a little twist on it, and it's going to be the abundance of Google getting back at the NSA. So this one's kind of more of a humorous note. Details will be in the show notes, and it is a little better if you can see the pictures. It's obvious when you see the pictures, but I'll do my best to describe it. So one of the first slides that Snowden released, you know, these hand-drawn slides that the NSA apparently uses, describes how they're able to intercept all the traffic going from to and from Google, because everything on the internet is encrypted, and then when it hits the edge of Google's network, it all gets decrypted, and everything internal to Google is not encrypted while it's in their own network. And on the slide, there's a little call-out to this particular piece of equipment where you go from encrypted to not encrypted. And someone has drawn on the slide SSL, which is the encryption technology, added and removed here, smiley face. Very high-tech spy type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very.
You know, yes. What with the emoticons and all. I mean, I would have confused this for fake until they put the emoticons on it. Of course. No doubt it's a spy now.
The emoticons make it real.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's what makes it. So Google is attempting a new venture where they're planning to offer what's known as end-to-end email encryption. Basically, the premise is that I will encrypt my email in my browser, and not even Google will be able to read it. They will just see who it's to and route it all the way through to your inbox, where you will be the only one that's able to decrypt it.
Okay.
Okay? So that's the premise. Now, the way they're trying to do this is they've written the code for it, and they've released the code open source style to the security community, so that they could go through it and vet it and make sure that, you know, they haven't messed anything up and that this was truly secure. Well, in the code, Google has left a little bit of a dig at the NSA, because the section of code where it actually encrypts and decrypts your email, there is a call out to SSL added and removed here, smiley face. That's actually the name of the function they used in the code.
That's hilarious.
That is just awesome. You're going to mess with us, fine. We'll mess with you, too.
Yeah, I mean, here's a little neener, neener, neener back in your face.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
You know, I know in the grand scheme of things it's probably not huge, but I find it amusing that the guys that coded this actually took the time. Because, you know, nothing happens in computer code by accident.
No.
Somebody typed this in. Just a very deliberate thumbing their nose at the NSA, you're going to mess with our customers, we're going to make your life difficult.
Yeah, or at least so, entertaining.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, on that note, I tend to have mixed feelings about Google, both good and bad, but on this note, I say good on them.
I like it. Well, let's jump over to one of our partners here, Amazon, as we all know. They help us out with the show, and with our listeners using our link to shop there, takes care of us and helps keep our show free. Well, unfortunately, they are trying to be politically correct here and diplomatic. Due to their recent contract negotiations, Amazon shoppers have started getting a bit frustrated.
Flustered?
So, Amazon's currently in talks with Warner Brothers to up or rehash the contract they have in place. But in doing so, Amazon has removed the ability to pre-order movies that are coming out. Popular movies, such as The Lego Movie, 300, Rise of an Empire, Winter's Tale, and Transcendence. So a lot of shoppers are going online looking to pre-order these movies, and they're not available through Amazon. Some shoppers say, one shopper here says, I guess I can thank Amazon for steering me back towards brick and mortar stores. And another one wrote, he wrote this because his inability to pre-order the Lego Movie at Amazon. But it's not just major movies that are being affected by this. Warner Brothers is a key distribution company for other media companies, one of which being Viz Media, who is popular for releasing animes such as Bleach and Naruto, one of which I'm really familiar with, one of which I'm sad that I even know what it is. Those customers now customers of those franchises are having a hard time finding those products because Warner Brothers is the one distributing this company's product, and because of the negotiations, Amazon is making it a little bit difficult to make those transactions. And even at one point in time, Amazon recommended that if you are looking for these products, we recommend you shop somewhere else. So definitely sounds like there's some bad blood there.
And this is not the first time this has happened. Actually, this news story broke, a couple weeks ago with the book publisher Hachette.
Yep,
I believe they're French.
That's mentioned in here as well. Amazon was pulling pre-orders for books and not selling hard copies. You had to buy it through their, is Kindle through Amazon?
Kindle is through Amazon.
Okay, I can never remember which one is which. You could buy it through Kindle, but you couldn't buy the hard copy.
And the reason that they gave for that is they didn't want a whole bunch of pre-orders sitting on their books while they're in negotiations, because if the negotiations fell through, then they'd have to issue a whole bunch of refunds. And they took the tack that they would just prefer not to take the orders in the first place until the negotiations were complete and everything was reestablished.
From a bookkeeping standpoint, it makes perfect sense. I mean, when you're taking in and dishing out money like Amazon is daily, you don't want to have costs accrued or potential costs that need to be spent and money generated for that then you can't do anything with. So I get that mentality on their side. So I'm on Amazon's side there. But maybe the way they're presenting it could be done a little better, maybe, a little bit.
Well, and you run into the problem that Amazon has gotten so large, and, congratulations to them, but now it becomes a weapon that they can wield. Just a couple days ago, Hachette has announced that they're now going to have to lay off some of their employees because of the dispute with Amazon and not getting enough sales through brick-and-mortar distributors. So I understand Amazon's line to a point, but then again, it also gives them a very big stick that I'm not sure they should have, to where they can hold the publishers over, essentially over a barrel, that you will give us the books on our terms, or we just won't sell your stuff, and, you can go broke.
I am going to take Amazon's side on this and say, if a publisher is putting all their chips in one basket and then they are, like you said, held to the coals by Amazon, that's kind of their problem. I mean, if you want to get your product out there, you go through as many means as possible that make financial sense. If they're
and
not
I agree that they should be going through multiple channels, but there's nothing saying that they're not. The thing is, Amazon is the biggest of everything now. So even if you were selling to all the mom-and-pop bookstores or even Barnes & Noble, that still doesn't make up for the volume of business that Amazon does, which then gives them that power. You know, if Amazon decides to drop your product, it doesn't matter if you've got a supply channel through every other bookstore in the country. That is a significant hit in your business.
Sure. Well, I don't argue that. But it sounds like, I don't know, maybe to me, maybe it's my naivety here, but it sounds like if a company has to eventually lay off employees because Amazon isn't selling their product, that they're not necessarily taking advantage of other avenues, I guess. But maybe I'm just being, like I said, maybe I'm just being naive and not realizing really the true volume that Amazon has the potential of doing and what kind of, as you said, power they get as a result. So, I don't know. That's about where, I don't have anything to wrap that up any better than that. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it. I think that's the danger of, well, it's not just online. Even in, we're seeing the same thing with the media companies, you know, to kind of harken back to one of our previous topics. This is the danger of having companies consolidate and purchase and buy out to the point where there's not a whole lot of competition left.
I agree.
This is you know, a mere entity.
Now we're starting to see it with Amazon as well, where a lot of the major book retailers are going out of business because there's just not enough money left in it anymore, which leaves you with a few that are holding on and Amazon.
Yeah.
This is a mirror with video game, PC games, and Steam. If you're not on Steam, you're pretty much not selling. Now, I'll give... There is... What's it called? And a clause to that where there is that one shot where... I say Minecraft, where they weren't on Steam and still may, you know, still got famous. But yeah, it seems that these industries have a chokehold on products that they shouldn't really have a chokehold on.
Well, I think it comes down to this statement. A lot of these companies, book publishers, video game, potentially cinematics, I mean, it's going to go that way, is that they take the easy way for distribution, whether it's Steam, whether mm-hmm. it's Amazon. They found a place where they can put their product out there and it's going to hit the maximum number of people with minimal effort from their part. And so they take the easy way out in getting their product out there quickly, but they've given these companies, Amazon, Steam, etc., the ability to say, okay, well, if you want to do this, you got to jump through these hoops, or if we want you to fail, we can just make your product no longer available and you will die because you haven't done your part to make sure you can survive elsewhere. I think it's kind of like the sacrifice you make by taking the easy path versus maybe doing it the right way.
But even when you're doing both, when this has become such a major avenue, you know, like I said, even if you're selling through all available channels, when the dominant market either collapses or rejects you, that's a company-changing event.
Sure.
Even if you're doing everything else, like you say. You know,
yeah,
maybe I'm selling my game on my website and through app stores and through Steam. And when Steam tells me where I can stick my game, that's a major loss of revenue.
Yeah, no, I follow. I'm on the wavelength.
You know, competition is a consumer's friend. The more competition we can have, the better off we are. And when it consolidates down to just a couple companies that control everything, it's not a good day for consumers.
Correct. Nope. I'm on board. And I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up.
I think it is.
Once again, guys, thanks for listening. Hey, and if you're a Game of Thrones fan, feel free, and we please encourage you to check out our Abundance of Thrones podcast. We do one after every episode. We have one more week for the season finale. So if you're a fan, you haven't listened to one yet, we got one posting this week. And stay tuned for next week's season finale of that as well.
Yes, indeed.
Anything else coming up, Wade, on your channel for content?
None that I can see in the foreseeable future. I really, I'm not going to say it because I probably know I'm not going to get to it. So I'm just going to go out with my normal tagline, keep on gaming, guys.
That's a wrap.
We here at Abundance of Not do appreciate you listening in and would also appreciate you sharing us with your friends via the Stitcher Radio app and also iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and join us at Facebook. Thank you.